gospel for this day is from John, the 12th chapter, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 875.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I have lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I hope you know, or hope you are aware, that we have a weekly podcast that I make. That talks a little bit about the text coming up first the Sunday before. I usually set it up to go out on Friday. And a couple years ago, when we first came up with this, we were trying to think of what to call it and to have a name for it. And that was a bit of a challenge, you know, because what do you call something, you know? But we finally decided, Sean Murphy and I worked on this, to use just a single verb and to call it seek. And I'm thankful that we did, because as the years have gone by and as I've done this again and again and again, as I think about just that word seek, there is a lot of depth, a lot of meaning that comes with that, with the adjectives, with the nouns that you put with the word seek. And in today's gospel, that's what people do, is people come to Philip and they are seeking Jesus. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And on the surface, that's an easy, simple request, right? Like, I would like to meet, you know, your neighbor, or I would like to meet your boss, or I would like to meet so-and-so. Pretty simple. And yet, behind that is a deeper request. I would like to see them. I would like to know who they are. I would like to experience them for myself and see what kind of person this person really is. In today's text, we have the last public words that Jesus says. From here on out, Jesus will do a lot more talking, and he'll talk for quite a few chapters during the Last Supper, but that's a private conversation just with the disciples. Here we have Jesus' last words that he says to groups of people that are not his disciples. And so, as we think about this text, what do we see, what do we seek to find out about Jesus in this text? First of all, I think we see that Jesus is in control here. This is unique to John's gospel, that Jesus knows what he's doing, and he is ready and willing to do it. Even though he might be a little troubled, he says, Jesus doesn't ask to be rescued from what is to come. In other Gospels, that's not the case. Jesus says, "You let this cup pass from me. I don't want to drink from it unless I have to, God." And there's more of a pleading, like, you know, can you think possibly of anything else I can do besides die? There's kind of that aspect to things in other Gospels. But in John's Gospel, Jesus is geared up for this. This is the reason why he has come. And when they come to arrest him on Maundy Thursday, Jesus rushes to the cohort, to the 600 soldiers that have come to arrest him. He leaves the disciples safely in the garden and goes out, leaves the protection of the garden, goes out and meets them and says, "Here I am, take me, here I am." And that's interesting, is that Jesus is so much in control in John's Gospel. He knows what's going to happen, and he is good with it, and he even takes command of it. On the cross, as he dies, his last words are, "It is finished. My job is done." And so here we see that Jesus is in charge of everything that is to happen. And then we also think about this voice. What does it mean to see Jesus? Secondly, let's think about this voice that is interesting, because in John's Gospel, in the other Gospels, there's a voice of God comes at Jesus' baptism, and when Jesus is transfigured on the mountain and Peter wants to build the booth for Moses and for Elijah. But in John's Gospel, those events happen without God speaking. It's like Jesus doesn't really need to hear that voice, that encouragement, because he knows who he is and what he's going to do. But here, God confirms. God says, "I will be glorified in you, Jesus." And here, Jesus doesn't need this, but this is for the crowd. This is for the people around him to hear. And how is Jesus going to be glorified? Well, it's going to happen in the cross, in the resurrection, and in the ascension, but mostly in the cross. If you want to see God's glory at work, you look to the cross. And here the world is turned upside down, because it's hard to imagine saying, in today's world, to see Jesus in his glory, look to the electric chair. Look to the lethal injection. Look to the firing squad. That sounds really bizarre to us, doesn't it? But that's in effect what Jesus is saying. If you want to see God's glory, look at execution. Look at the cross. And there we see God's glory. God's glory in what appears to be weakness and total failure and total implosion of everything that could possibly happen, ending up in this disastrous death, ending up in this weakness, being just total chaos and total destruction. And yet, that's how the plan is to work. That's how things are to happen. That's where God's glory is going to be revealed, that God is going to defeat even the ruler of this age, and that love and life and goodness and joy and gladness, that all those things will triumph over pain and sin and death and evil. But that's part of what it means to see Jesus, is to see how God is at work in the world. And then another way to see Jesus is to look to the disciples. And this is a bit odd, because they still don't get it, and they won't for a while yet. But here Jesus talks about how if a seed it just lies around and doesn't get buried in the dirt, it's just a seed, right? But if a seed is buried in the dirt and dies, it produces much fruit. And that's what's going to happen. When Jesus ascends into heaven, it's the disciples who are going to produce the fruit. They are going to be the ones who work to carry on Jesus' job here on earth. They're the ones who are going to be out talking and preaching and teaching and converting and bringing people, other people, to know Jesus. Without them, it's like a dead stop in the water. The church, the faith, is not going to go anywhere. And so Jesus keeps on teaching them what it means to be his disciples. And the world is eager and curious and hungry to know Jesus. And that's no accident, because it's the Greeks who come and want to see Jesus. It's the Gentiles, it's the world that comes this day and says, tell me more. I'm intrigued. I want to know, what is all this? What is all this? And the world still has questions about Jesus, wonderings about Jesus, and sometimes ignorance about Jesus as well. And so we, the disciples in today's world, it is our calling to help show Jesus to the world, that we are called also to seek out those who are lost, those who are vulnerable, those who are wealthy, those who are proud. We're called to seek out the whole world and tell them about God's love and tell them that they are valuable simply because. And their value has nothing to do with money they have in their pocket or prestige or position or the size of their home or the references that people would provide for them. Their value is in simply being people, in simply being. And that is a powerful, powerful message in a world that tries again and again to rank people in order of importance or power or all those kind of things. To be valued simply for being is the world turned upside down. And that's the message that we have through Jesus, is that the whole world is loved simply because we are, and simply because of who God is. And so today, as the Greeks say, we want to know more about this Jesus. We disciples say, come and see, come and see. Amen. Uh-huh.